1 Samuel chapter 2 is where we're going to begin. We've already began the study of 1 Samuel, and we're just looking, and we're going to go through probably, hopefully, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, and even go all the way through into Kings, and probably touch in Chronicles as well. I just want to do a study and just go through these books and just kind of, again, these are historical books, but they're how God has dealt or is dealing with the children of Israel. And up to this point, we saw that some folks, their lives have been changed. Hannah, particularly, as she sought the Lord and prayed, and God answered her prayer and gave her a child. She made a vow to God, if I get a child, I'm giving it to you. And so she gave Samuel to Eli, and when he was weaned. And so Eli has Samuel, and he's bringing him up and trying to help him. And I'm not sure Eli's the best person to bring up Samuel, but God knows all about that, because as we look and study, this next part in chapter 2, we see that Eli didn't do so well with his two sons as they are. But of course, again, remember this, and this is something that's important, is that a lot of times we lay a lot of guilt on parents because their kids don't necessarily turn out right. Now, obviously, that's where it begins, is in the home, but every person has a choice. Every person makes the decision. I don't care who they are and where they're raised. In fact, years ago, I heard the preacher's kids are the worst. They always turn out the worst. In fact, I knew a preacher's kid when I was in service, and I thought, you're a preacher kid? But he was just like I was, and that was bad. So, but anyway, so again, we understand that. And we're going to see, though, through this whole situation that Eli doesn't really deal very well with his sons. And so through this whole thing, we all have choices to make. We all have to make a decision on how we live and what we do, and understand that that's true with Eli and of course, Eli's sons as well. So here, let's go ahead and begin in verse 12 of chapter 2 of 1 Samuel. And this is going to read down here, to begin with verse 17, and we'll go just look at the whole rest of this book, I think. It says, "Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. And the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servants came while the flesh was in seething with a flesh hook of three teeth in his hand. And he struck it into a pan or kettle or cauldron or pot. All that the flesh hook brought up, the priest took for himself. So they did in Shiloh unto all the Israelites that came thither. Also before they burnt the fat, the priest's servant came and said to the man that sacrificed, give me flesh to roast for the priest, for he will not have sodden flesh of thee, but raw. And if any man said unto him, let them not fail to burn the fat presently, and then take as much as thy soul desireth, then he would answer him, nay, but thou shalt give it me now, and if not, I will take it by force. Wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord." Let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you for your word this morning. We thank you again for how you give us these things to help us to understand your plan for our lives. Everything that's in the Word of God is profitable for us, the negative and the positive, that we might know and understand who you are and again, who we are and what you can do in our lives. Now, Father, I pray you just bless our time together today, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So right here we see that these men, and we're going to see that they're evil servants. These are priests. They are serving, and they are serving the people. And yet, through this whole thing, they're not doing the practice of what they're called to do. Eli's old here in this particular time. We can see that in verse 22. It says, "Now Eli was very old." Chapter 4, when we get there, we're going to find out that his eyes were dim as well. So he's old. He left the priestly work in his son's charge. He gave them the opportunity to make those decisions. But the fact is, they did not follow God's plan. They weren't living for God. In fact, the first verse, it says, "Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial." That's talking about the devil, okay? They were following the worldly practices. They were not following God. They were following what they wanted to do instead of what God wanted them to do. In fact, it says, they knew not the Lord. I believe they had no relationship with God whatsoever. They didn't obey Him. They didn't follow Him. They didn't trust Him. Didn't have anything to do with Him. They just wanted to do what they wanted to do. Now, Hophni and Phinehas, they didn't have a relationship, and they said, here it says they were the sons of Belial. And when I think about this sometimes, I mentioned preacher's kids, a lot of the times this is the way it is. The fellow like Eli, who's the priest and raising his children, doesn't raise them correctly, and they just turn from God completely. That's what's happened here. And these folks don't, these two boys don't really care what God thinks, and they have no idea really what he wants. They don't go back and look. They got the Old Testament, Pentateuch, and still yet they don't practice what they should be. They were openly practicing wickedness. In verses, we see that it didn't do right. In verse 13, it says, the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servants came while the flesh was seething with a flesh hook of three teeth in his hand, and he struck it into a pan or a kettle or a cauldron or a pot. And it says, all that the flesh hook brought up, the priest took for himself. So they did in Shiloh unto all the Israelites that came thither. Also, before they burned the fat, the priest's servants came and said to the man that sacrificed, give me flesh to roast for the priest, for he will not have sodden flesh for thee, but raw. And if any man said unto him, let them not fail to burn the fat presently, and then take as much as thy soul desireth, then he would answer, nay, but thou shalt give it me now. If not, I will take it by force. And it says, wherefore the sin of the young men was very great. So here we see that they were ignorant to the things of God. They were stealing the people's offerings when they came in. The people who came and wanted to do what was right, they knew based on the book of Leviticus and others. Let's turn to Leviticus chapter 7 for a second, that this was not right, and it was something that these two men who were priests, they're serving as priests, were really profaning God's plan and doing those things that are wrong. And we're going to see the reaction of the people in just a minute. But in Leviticus chapter 7, if you can find yourself, find your place there, I want you to find verse 28. Verse 28 here. And it kind of tells us a little bit about some of the things that the priests are supposed to do. In verse 28, this is the Lord speaking to Moses. It says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, he that offereth the sacrifice of peace offerings unto the Lord shall bring his oblation unto the Lord of the sacrifice of his peace offerings. His own hand shall bring the offering of the Lord made by fire, the fat with the breast. It shall he bring, that the breast may be weighed for a wave offering before the Lord, and the priest shall burn the fat upon the altar, but the breast shall be Aaron's and his sons'. So it's given us some directions here on what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to burn the fat, and they would give them the breast, and they could have that as their portion. Okay? And says, he among the sons of Aaron that offered the blood of the peace offering and the fat shall have the right shoulder of his part, for the wave breast and the heave shoulder have I taken of the children of Israel from off the sacrifices of their peace offerings, and have given them unto Aaron the priest and unto his sons by the statute forever from among the children of Israel. So he's talking about these portions. He's talking about how God is directing this situation, and this is the way God wanted it done. These guys were taking a hook and taking what they wanted to. They were taking the fat, which they weren't supposed to take, and so they were profaning God's plan for the offering. So when they did this, not only did they take and steal from the people, but they were also stealing from God, because this was dedicated to God. It was supposed to be offered and burnt, and they didn't do that. Go to chapter 10 of Leviticus for a second. Chapter 10 of Leviticus, and I want you to look at verse 12. A couple pages away, if I can get mine split. Chapter 10. Again, it's talking more about the offering. It says, and that ye may put difference between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean, and that ye may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord has spoken unto them by the hand of Moses. And Moses spake unto Aaron and unto Eleazar and unto Ithamar, his sons that were left, take the meat offering that remaineth of the offerings of the Lord made by fire, and eat it without leaven beside the altar, for it is most holy. So he's telling them what to do and how to do it. They're not following these directions. I want to tell you, when I study the Bible, and the more I study it, God is pretty specific about how we're to serve Him, how we're to live, and all those things. They're included in the Word of God. And God is serious about this. He's serious about this situation here. We're going to see that. And so for us as Christians, as the application is that when we study the Word of God and find out what God's direction is in our life is, He wants us to follow that. Now, He gives us grace. Sometimes I think of grace as the rope that he lets us run as far as we can. But there comes a point when he's going to tug on that rope and say, enough's enough. And God, he loves us that much that he will give us that much grace. But yet he still wants us to learn and grow, and he wants us to be obedient to his word. Here we see these guys were doing wrong. They were stealing from the people. They were stealing from God. But not only that, let's go on back to our passage in 1 Samuel. So here they're profaning the altar. They were not getting the sacrifices that they should. But in verse 17 it says, wherefore the sins of the young men were very great before the Lord. It says Hophni and Phinehas' sins were great before the Lord. But look at that next part of the verse. What does it say there? A little louder. So I can hear it. So what he's saying there is people who brought their offerings, they didn't want to come anymore. They abhorred it. Why? Because they were stealing God's offering from the people who were to make it. So the Israelites themselves were saying in their mind, what's the point? What's the use? We're not doing this right. And they got upset. It's sort of like us as Christians, when we don't live the life that God's called us to live and people, other people see it, they come to the point and say, what's the use? Why should I do it when so-and-so's not doing it, or so-and-so's doing this? Or so? I've heard that statement many times. If you ask somebody about doing something or you challenge them, they say, well, so-and-so's not doing it. That's exactly what's happened here. Because they're not willing to follow God and do the things that are right, somebody else is looking and they're profaning the people. They're causing them to abhor going and doing the sacrifice. And so they were corrupt. They were stealing that which was God's and stealing the offering which the people brought. But let's go on to verse 18. Well, let's skip 18, go to verse 22. We'll come back to verse 18. Then it says, now Eli was very old, okay? And I'm starting to understand what that means. I don't feel like I'm very yet, but I'm old, okay? And so as you get older, it used to make me mad because, frustrated. But people, when they get older, they tend to let things go. In other words, as they were young, they were serving God. They were fervent about things. But when they got older, it's like, I remember one guy said to me, he says, well, we just got to love everybody. And that's true. But what he meant by that was, we don't need to judge them according to the scripture. We don't need to do any of that. We don't need to look at the Bible and in his mind and stick to what the Bible teaches. We need to accept people just like they are. And just, that's fine. That's not what the Bible teaches. You accept them and then God changes their life. And that's what's supposed to happen in Christians' lives, is to be changed for the better. And but anyway, so here we see Eli, he's old, so he's really not on top of things. It says, and heard all that his sons did unto Israel, and how they lay with the women, that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. So here his sons were not only stealing the offerings, but now they were committing adultery. These were the priests. These were the people who were supposed to be examples. The ones who were supposed to do right. These are the guys that Jesus, when he came and preached the hardest, was to the Pharisees, the rulers. And so this is exactly what's going on here. Is these folks, Eli's old, his sons are doing things they shouldn't. They were very wicked. They were arrogant, corrupt. They were evil. And so Eli heard all this, and he heard what they were doing, and he heard that they had no regard for the women that came. Instead, they were committing adultery with them. And so we see how Eli saw they were mistreating people. So look at verse 23. It says, and he said unto them, why do ye such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. Ye make the Lord's people transgress. He says, if one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Notwithstanding, they hearken not unto the voice of their father, because the Lord would slay them. And so we see right through here that all he does is really talk to them. As a father that has sons that are not doing the proper thing, he should have dealt with them a little bit more harshly, do you not think? He should have kind of maybe removed them from this position. They shouldn't be continuing in it. He talked to him, said, oh, you shouldn't do this. Stop doing it. But he's old. He's tired. He really doesn't want to deal with it. So he just lets them continue doing these things. And they're not going to listen to him. They're not hearkening to his voice. In fact, he says, who's going to judge you? Who's going to judge you guys? And of course, the Lord's going to be the one who judges them eventually. But here, they're doing what they want to do, living how they want to live. And they are the examples, really, to what, in this case, the Israelites were supposed to do in a religious sense. So they were guilty of three sins here. They robbed the people of their sacrifices. They robbed God by taking what belonged to him. And they committed fornication. And yet, there was nothing Eli could do. But then we see the example that's set before us of Samuel. Go back to verse 18. It says, but Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen, ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year. And when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice, and Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife, and said, the Lord give thee seed of the woman for a loan, which is lent to the Lord. And they went into their home, and the Lord visited Hannah, so that she conceived and bare three sons and two daughters, and the child Samuel grew before the Lord. So here we see a contrast. We see, even though he's under Eli, God has blessed Hannah, and Hannah has dedicated Samuel to the Lord. And Samuel, as he is being raised by Eli, nonetheless, he is a child that is looking to the Lord. He's trusting God. He's ministering there. He's serving, in a sense, as an apprentice. He actually is wearing clothes of a priest. And we know that he is dedicated to serve God. And that's what Hannah did. And so it's important for us to remember that as we study this passage, and this is true, negative and positive, in Proverbs 22:6 it says, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. And that passage is true. Sometimes we have we look at it and say, well, it can't be true because, you know, my child's not serving God and I tried to do the best I could or whatever. It's not the fact that we try to do the best. It's the fact that we're still sinners and we still make mistakes. And we're not perfect, but yet we can train up our child if we get serious with God in the best way we know how. And he'll remember that all the days of his life. There may be a point in a time of rebellion, but he may come back, and maybe if he's got it in him, he will. But if we don't train them that way, it is a guaranteed fact that they're probably not going to turn out that way. Now, it does happen. There are first-generation Christians all over the place. I'd say raise your hand if you're a first-generation Christian, but I know several in this room that are. Why did that happen? It's because by God's grace, you saw the Lord and understood that. But there are many, many more people that are not because of how they were brought up. And so training up a child is important. Positive and negative is that we have our input, and that our input comes from God, and that we're willing to serve God and follow Him. And that's exactly what Samuel's doing. We see Eli's sons are not. And so as we see that Samuel is serving God and he's trying to learn and trying to grow, and of course Eli's sons are not, God told Eli that in verse 25 he says, because the Lord would slay them. He's saying, he's making a prophetic statement here, that the Lord would slay them if they don't follow him. And so he tried to persuade his sons, he couldn't do it. And we understand that. We've seen it before in the Bible. Remember Lot and his situation? Lot was, the Bible says, a righteous man. Now, if you look at his life, would you think he's a righteous man? I don't think I would. He was in a city called Sodom and Gomorrah. We know it started with the difference that Abraham had and Lot had with their cattle and their herdmen and stuff. They couldn't get along, so Abraham said, choose you where you want to go. He picked a place of the plains, and he set up his tent, and his tent was pointed to Sodom and Gomorrah, and that's the first thing that happened. He looked, or he put himself in a position to watch that city, and it wasn't long that he was in that city, and also somebody sitting at the gate, which meant that he was probably a leader of some sort. And so, of course, when things got bad and there was wickedness in that city, Abraham petitioned God, starting, I believe it was from 50, and went all the way down to 10. If there's 10 righteous in that city, would you save the city? And of course, there wasn't 10 righteous. And when the angels went to Lot and tried to get him out, of course, they were attacked. And he offered up his daughters to give the men outside, the Sodomites, instead of the men. But they wanted the angels. And so the angels smote them, blinded them, so they couldn't get in. And then they left the city. They left with two daughters, and they left with Lot and his wife. And that was all, four of them. He couldn't convince his son-in-laws. He couldn't convince other people. But that's it. And they left. And still, his wife loved the city so much, the story goes that as they left, she looked back. And they told her not to do that. And as soon as she did, what happened? Pillar of salt. And of course, Lot and his two daughters escaped. But again, it's all about training your children and not putting them in those situations. Lot, he was in the worst place he could be. He made that choice. He could have got out of that situation, but he didn't. He lived in that situation, and his children lived in that situation, and he lost most of his children. Two of them went with him. So we see that's going to happen and can happen in our lives as well. So Hophni and Phinehas had no respect for the Lord. They didn't care anything about it. And Samuel, on the other hand, verse 26, and the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. He served God. He was in favor of God. And that's, of course, where we want to be. But let's look at verse 27. We see that God declares judgment. In verse 27, it says, and there came a man of God unto Eli, and said unto him, thus saith the Lord. So Eli is getting some counsel. God has seen the situation, and he's giving Eli some counsel. You know, this happens in our lives as well. When we are maybe straying or walking off the path that God is trying to lead us, we as Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ, ought to be there to go to somebody and say, hey, you're straying off the path. You need some help. Now, you need to pray about that and let God lead you in that. But that's exactly what's happened here. God is sending somebody to talk to Eli to help him to see that his decisions are not right, that the way they're going is not right. And it's the same thing that can happen in our lives and will happen if we're serious about serving God. So he sent this anonymous man of God. We don't know who he was. And he warned Eli of judgment. He said, thus saith the Lord, did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? So he's talking about all the way back to Pharaoh when they started the priesthood. When they left Egypt, Moses, of course, had the law. God gave him the law. He gave him the law about how to perform the task in the tabernacle, how to handle the offerings, how to handle everything that takes place in there. And so he's just reminding him. In verse 28, he said, and did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel? He's talking about the Levites here. And that's what Eli is. He's a Levite. He says, and did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer up my altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? So he's asking these, and these are rhetorical questions because the answer is yes, you know. And so he says, and did I give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by fire and the children of Israel? Did not I provide for the priest? Did not I give them a substance? Did I not take care of them? And of course, the answer was yes. In verse 29 says, wherefore, kick ye at my sacrifice and mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. He said, kick. We remember when Paul was on the road to Damascus, when Jesus talked to him, he says, why are you kicking against the pricks? And that whole thing was an illustration of cattle. Whenever they are working in the field, a lot of times they would take a rail and put behind them with little pricks. Or they would take a prong and poke them. And so if the cattle kicked against the pricks, they'd get a little pain and it'd kind of straighten them out, okay? And that's what he was talking to Paul about, kicking against the pricks. That's exactly what Eli's doing here. He's kicking against the pricks. In other words, he is rebellious. He's not wanting to follow God. He's wanting to do his own thing, follow his own path. And so that's what we see here in this passage. And he's telling them, isn't that what you're doing? And then look what he said on the rest of that. He says, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honors thy sons above me. What is he saying there? Honors thy sons above me. Okay. Anybody else want to add to that? Exactly right. What else? No thoughts? Why don't you turn to Matthew chapter 10. Jesus is speaking to this very thing. And so what he's telling Eli, basically, is that you don't love me above your sons. You love them more than you love me. In chapter 10 of Matthew, Jesus is speaking. Look at verse 34. I'll let you get a chance to get there. Page 1009, if you can't find that. You got a Bible like mine. Okay, chapter 10, verse 34 says, "Think not," this is Jesus speaking, "think not I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword." Now, we think that's contrary to what we think Jesus came for, isn't it? But Jesus didn't come to send peace at that particular time. Jesus came for one reason, and that is to help people to find out who he was and to put their faith and trust in him. And he knew that some people would and some people wouldn't. And that's where the division comes. He goes on and he says in verse 35, "For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household." Your enemies are going to be in your house. You say, "Well, I can't do that. I never do that." He says, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." Verse 39, "He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." So what he's talking about here, now he's not telling us literally to hate our children, to hate our mothers and fathers and all that, but he's telling us, get your priorities right. Put me first, and the rest of it will fall in order. See, that's so many people put their families first, and I'm not against your families, and I'm not saying that. I'm just telling you the Bible, okay? If you will put God first, your families will be right there. They'll be, because you'll follow the Scripture. You'll understand what Jesus is trying to teach. But if you don't put God first, or if you lift up and allow your children to do what they want to do, or maybe you're into sports, and sports are more important than anything else. And so your kid's at the sports, and you're not bringing him into church, you're not teaching him things of God, you're putting your kid before God. And that's exactly what he did here. He put his children before God. He let them do what they wanted to do, and not only, these weren't just normal kids, these were priests. And they were profaning things, and they were profaning God. And so, in essence, Eli himself was doing the very same thing because he chose to put them above God. We do that sometimes with a lot of things. You can name them, and I'm not going to name them, but you know what I'm talking about. Anything above God is putting that first. Anything. And so that's, again, important. That's what a lesson we can learn today. So here we see that he goes on. He says, verse 30 says, "Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever." He's reminding Eli, says, that's what you should do, is put me first. He says, "But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honoreth me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." So he's talking about those who will put God first, he's going to bless them. The window of blessing, Malachi says, will be open, and we'll have not enough room to receive it all. It'll be so much. But if we do not follow God, put him first, lightly esteemed means that we will be rejected. God is not going to bless us, but the curses will come. It's our choice. Now, for the Christian, the curse is chastisement, having God deal with us in a situation. If we know to do right and doeth it not, wherefore to him that knoweth do right and doeth it not, it is, James 4:17 says. And so again, when you know the Bible says something and you don't do it, you just put that item or that thing before God. That's what it teaches. And so all of us are in that situation that we're walking and we're struggling, but you know, none of us know everything yet. God is still showing me things that I need to do. And God's going to show you things that you need to do. And as you take those steps and continue those steps, as He reveals those things to you, you put those in practice. And God will bless you, and He will give you something else to learn and something else to do, and you'll start growing, and spiritually speaking. And that's what the Lord wants to do with us. It says in verse 31, "Behold, the days come that I will cut off thine arm and the arm of thy father's house, that there shall not be an old man in thine house." He says, "I'm taking this away from you, Eli. You're going to lose this." Verse 32 says, "And thou shalt see an enemy in my habitation in all the wealth which God shall give Israel, and there shall not be an old man in thine house forever." He said, "And the man of thine whom I shall not cut off from mine altar shall be to consume thine eyes and to grieve thy heart, and all the increase of thy house shall die in the flower of their age." So Eli, he's talking about, are going to die in their youth. And he goes on, says in verse 34, "And this shall be a sign unto thee that shall come upon thy two sons of Hophni and Phinehas. In one day they shall die, both of them. And I will raise me up a faithful priest that shall do according to that which is mine in mine heart and in my mind. And I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before mine anointed forever." So he's going to take it away from him. He's going to give that priesthood to somebody else. And then look what he says in verse 36. "And it shall come to pass that every one that is left in thine house," the children, the grandchildren, the offspring later on down the road, shall come and crouch, okay, to him for a piece of silver and a morsel of bread." They're going to come to the priest, and they're going to be begging for food and for morsels or for silver. And he says, "And shall say, put me, I pray thee, into one of the priest's offices that I may eat a piece of bread." They would be Levites, but God is going to reject Eli's heritage, and they'll no longer be part of the priesthood. They'll be begging for food, asking for the opportunity to be back in the priesthood. God says, "I'm taking it away." Why? "Because you have shown that you've been disobedient and you have not followed me." You know, God is, he loves these people. He wants them. Now, God didn't do this hastily. This is not something that happened real quick. God, in His mercy, gave them, I'm sure, chance after chance after chance. God does the same thing with us. He deals with us with mercy. You know, some people think God is a mean God and He sends people to hell. God sends nobody to hell. We choose to go to hell. God's mercy, He is constantly reminding us through people, through the Word of God, and those that are know God, that Jesus Christ died for them and there is hope for them. And that's what God wants to remind us, is even as Christians, when we don't listen at first, yes, there may be some chastisement. And yes, I believe the chastisement is to the degree of the disobedience. The longer you disobey, the bigger the chastisement. And God's not going to bless. But when you get a hold of that and you see it's as simple as, "God, you're right. Please forgive me. I've been going the wrong way, and I want to go your way." And be honest with Him. "I don't have the strength to do it. But you know what? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." You can have success. I can have success in walking with God if we let Christ lead us. That's the important message we have today. Let's go ahead and pray and be dismissed. Father, again, we do thank You for Your love for us. We pray You continue to bless us. We thank You so much for Your word, and thank You for how You give it to us for our understanding. And Father, we just pray now You continue to strengthen each one of us, and we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.